All right, any objection to postponing it?
Point of information?
Yes.
When is that earlier one postponed until unfinished business?
We'll deal with their motion.
It's dealing in this section.
Any discussion on that? Any objections to postponing this motion till after Ken's motion is taken care of? Any objections to that?
Is that how you want that phrase? Until this other
postpone till the governance committee postpone till later in the governance committee report following the handling of the free
thank you. No objection. All right, the postpone. Next item. Free motion. Yeah.
Do you want me to reread it?
Yeah.
Motion to affirm the right of all directors to be notified and to attend all meetings of all PMB committees. Whereas Article 8, Section 5 of our bylaws states that meetings of PMB committees shall be governed by the provisions of Article 6, and whereas Article 6 of our bylaws affirms that all meetings of the board shall be open to all members of the board, and whereas Article 5, Section E, Part 1 charges directors with, quote, ensuring and facilitating the purposes of the foundation, end quote. Therefore, be it resolved that the PMB affirms the right of all directors to be given reasonable notice of all meetings of all PMB committees, subcommittees, and working groups, the right to attend any of these meetings, whether said meetings are open or closed to the public, and the right to address any item of business before these committees during any such meetings.
Thank you.
Do you have copies?
Point of information.
It's in the last page of your
Point of information.
Any second to the motion?
No.
Point of order.
Yes.
It was seconded last time.
Okay.
Point of information.
Lydia seconded.
Point of information.
Yes. I'm wondering, is your thought to have a voting right by showing up or just showing up?
The voting rights are obviously limited to members who have been appointed to committees. This is just this only affirms the right to be notified of these committees meetings, the right to attend them. And the right to speak to any issue of concern to the director. And that right obviously can be limited, but it cannot be eliminated by the committee.
All right. In our room. Yeah, yes. Go ahead.
I'd like to amend that to add that the directors present on the committee calls shall announce their presence to the chair and may be permitted to speak at the discretion of the committee chair, although the directors may appeal the decision of the chair to the majority vote of the committee.
Second.
Point of information.
Second. Point of information, who is that?
That's actually a substitute.
Point of information, who is that?
How does this give you more power than already exists in the bylaws? How does this change anything that's already in the bylaws? All of our meetings are open to every board member.
No, they're not.
What's closed?
Executive session.
Who's the director to Amherst? This point of information.
I'm asking Ken and whoever else wants to deal with it.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so we had an extensive exchange on this on email, and my understanding of Roberts, and I checked with parliamentarians.
It's not that Roberts is talking about bylaws.
I understand. Our bylaws do not grant the right of members to attend or even be notified of the
deny any member the right to participate in any committee. That's my question.
So just hang on to continue the point.
And so please cite the provision of the bylaws.
It absolutely does not exclude, but neither does it grant the right to attend. And as I said, we went through this. This came up as a result of the discussion about the coordinating committee's executive session to deal with contract item and whether or not that needed to be noticed to the board. At the moment, committee meetings, as everybody knows, are not noticed to our PMB list. They are noticed to the committee. That goes for executive sessions, and certainly in the case of Ken's motion, he's asking that even working groups be noticed to the entire board and that any board member be given both the right to attend and voice. None of those rights are affirmed in the bylaws. And I'll just speak to the motion, I disagree that they should be given voice on every committee and at all times. I think that that should be at the discretion of the committee, and I believe that the language in the Freeland motion is not clear enough on what constitutes reasonable notice. So I think that it should be, I'd like to substitute that there be notice when the committee is noticed at a meeting, the notice is
mentioned. Mr. Chair, I will also ask Ken to respond. I just want to know what the revision is in our bylaws.
Thank you very much. We'll take care of it. We just don't want this back and forth discussions. We don't want that. Point of information, we'll entertain that.
I'd like to
see after that.
Point of information as well.
All right, go ahead.
I totally disagree with what you just heard. The wording of this motion makes clear.
That is not a point of information.
Mayor?
I'm responding.
Please. Yes, I asked the
point of information.
Please.
You're asking the question.
No. I asked the question.
Yes. Go ahead, Ken. Ken, go ahead.
The motion makes clear, Ambrose, that Article 8, Section 5 of the bylaws states that all meetings, the meetings of P&B committees shall be governed by the provisions of Article 6. Article 6 states that all meetings of the board shall be open to all members of the board. There's nothing else in the bylaws suggesting that the board members would not be allowed to participate. However, the reality is that when the coordinating committee last met in executive session, they denied the board an opportunity to be notified and to participate. So that's the point of the...
In other words, your motion has to do with the practice, not with the bylaws.
That's correct. The bylaws as opposed to the practice.
Ken, thank you. Very good.
Yes, I'd like to speak against this because the bylaws are silent on it. They don't say anything about that, but the fact that committees exist means that... you have certain people working on issues, and the whole bylaw structure is that we have a large board which should do all of its work in committees, which then bring their results back. If the whole board can attend every committee and speak whenever it wants, then we have the whole board participating in every committee, and it simply means that the board is acting as a committee of the whole for every single committee business that we have, which is absurd. Because not to mention that no work could get done. Listening and having public meetings, and they're always noticed anyway if they're public meetings, because if one member is shaking his head, but we do have streaming, and those meetings are on the KPFTX calendar in advance, and it's anyone can listen who wants to, and they're archived later, but... If the motion could be simplified to just say all committees shall be made up of the P&B acting as committee of the whole, and then that's it, and everybody can join if they want to,
okay,
and talk all the time if they want to.
Thank you, Mary. For the sake of time on this subject as well, unless somebody moves to extend time, we'll have to go to the vote. Okay, there's a motion to extend time for 10 minutes.
I would amend to five minutes.
All right, this is Ron. So the motion is to extend time for 10 minutes. The seconded, any objections to that? No objection, the time is extended for 10 minutes. And we'll start the roster again. This time, what we'll do is we'll take about two people, pro and two con, and so it can get it done within 10 minutes. I think the issues are fairly clear. Okay, so who hasn't spoken before?
On this particular issue.
You haven't spoken? You have not spoken. You for or against? Against?
I'm speaking against.
Against?
Against.
Yes. Who's that for?
I am spoken to the amendment. But I want to speak against
the amendment. So we have Ken, and Mary.
day, Jonathan?
David is our spokesman. All right, go ahead, Mary.
Mr. Chair, could you read the motion as amended?
There's no amendment to the motion. What is there? There's no amendment to the motion.
I just spoke against you.
She did. All useful.
There is. Mr. Chair, I'm making a substitute.
Point of clarification?
Okay, just a second. Just hold on. Mary, just hold on. Jeff, could you tell me what your amended motion is?
The notice of all PNB committee meetings, excluding LSB meetings, shall be CC'd by the committee secretary or chair to the full PNB when they are transmitted to the committee, and that all directors be permitted to attend any such committee meetings, excluding executive sessions, including executive sessions. Directors present on committee calls shall announce their presence to the chair and may be permitted to speak at the discretion of the committee chair, although the director may appeal the decision of the chair to the majority vote of the committee.
Second.
Okay, so there's an amended motion and a second. So it's a substitute motion. Yeah, I understand. So we're going to take it. We'll take 2-4, 2 against. So the maker of the motion moves first. Please go ahead and give your reason.
Well, I think a lot of people have come to already. I think this will allow participation without making a meeting unhandleable. And it will still be in compliance with the bylaws and will allow participation by those who want to.
All right. And who's against? Ray?
I think the amendment is, or the substitute amendment is proposal is it means well. However, in practice, we would be spending time arguing with the chair decisions not to be allowed to speak. So unless there's a time limit, maybe we want to do that for 2 months to see how it works. Within 2/3, we to change it. I would object to it.
All right. Well, that's four who hasn't spoken before. But nobody has spoken before this. Don, go ahead.
No, but I'm speaking against, so you probably should take a 4 now.
Well, just speaking against this amended motion?
I'm speaking against the amendment, the motion, I'm speaking against the whole.
Everything. You're good. All right. Who is going to speak in favor of the amended motion?
Yeah, Dave? I'm in favor of it because I think Ken is quite correct that, and particularly, if we don't grant members the right to attend executive sessions and to know of them, then the contracts policy amounts to letting the coordinating committee essentially approve whatever the ED wants without it coming to the full board. So I think it's important that board members be permitted to attend and listen to the proceedings of executive sessions, not just the coordinating committee executive sessions, but all of them. I disagree with Ken that they should be given voice for the reasons that have been articulated. I just think it makes it unwieldy granting the chair of the committee the right to grant voice where they have something to offer that hasn't been articulated already in the committee is useful, but to grant it as a blanket is not a good idea. So I'm in favor of the idea of noticing executive sessions and allowing attendance of members at those things. I'm opposed to giving voice to them as a blanket.
Who hasn't spoken against it?
Mr. Chair, didn't you take a stack earlier of people who were already?
That was the original motion. We're going to take 2-4, 2 against, in the interest of time.
I know, you said that before, and we all raised our hands, and I said I was against, and now you're saying you're starting all over again.
What are you
saying?
All right. We're also at time.
All right. We are at time. So, unless there's a motion for time, extend to time, we'll have to go to a vote.
Point of information, too.
Yes.
The bylaws. All meetings of the Board of Directors and its committees shall be open to the members and to the public, with the exception of those meetings dedicated to or predominantly regarding personnel, proprietary information, litigation, and other matters requiring confidential advice of counsel involving commercial or financial information obtained on a privileged or confidential basis,
are related to a purchase of property or the use of engagement of services whenever the premature exposure of such purchase or sale, in the board's sole opinion, may compromise the legitimate business interest of the foundation. It is already open
thank
to
you.
Everyone.
Point of information.
Thank you.
Yes.
Did I hear the words have a vote or a voice in those meetings?
No.
Thank you.
No. I said they're open.
No.
That's what I'm talking about.
We at that time. And I do not hear any motion to extend time.
Mr. Chair, I move to extend the debate for another 5 minutes because others have had that.
Don't give me, just ask for a second time.
I move to extend 5 minutes.
Okay, I second it, and there's objection to that. So we go to a vote. Let's go. Teresa, we have time to extend 5 minutes. Will you take a vote?
No, it doesn't have to be a roll call.
Oh, it did. Okay. People, whoever is in favor of extending time for 5 minutes, raise your hand. And please come.
Oh.
13 for extending time, and how many against? Two of them, so okay.
Four.
So we'll have 5 minutes. That's could be track of time.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to interrupt.
All right.
I think
could you please just one person at a time? And I know you're very anxious, but Don, go ahead. You would want to speak against that.
Okay. The point I want to make here is that the board has tried to streamline its committee work so that the committees don't do the same thing that the board does. And I think this is a good example. Spending huge amounts of time on technicalities and conflicts. To me, the reason I'm voting against the amendment and the entire package, although David Adelson does bring up a point here, I had no idea that some committees deal without bringing their work back to the board. That is in my opinion a special case. But I do not think we should impose on committees the overwhelming. I'm convening a committee of 15 members, directors and delegates from every signal area. 15 members on a phone call. Okay, then all of the board members come on the call, and pretty soon you have a phone call of 20 or 25. To me, streamlining these committees and letting them work without imposing the oppression of 25 people to deal with on a telephone call is the reason I oppose this expansion of the committee membership.
Thank you, Doug. And whose time is up again? So
5 minutes.
How can
that
be 5 minutes?
No, I'm sorry. I
didn't
get my watch
off.
One more minute
for another candidate to speak for this motion.
I have a substitute motion.
Mr. Chair, I would ask you again and again to speak, and you just look right past me again and went over to somebody else. I would like to speak to this issue.
Mr. Freeland, there are 22 people on this board, and those people who have not spoken on the subject before, I would also
I have not spoken to the amendment.
Please just let me speak in my turn. So what I want to do is I want to give opportunity for the voices that haven't been heard before or against. I hear you, and you'll be recognized in the order of which that order. So I wish I could give you all the time. I know you have a lot to say, but sorry, I have to listen to other people as well. All right, so time is up again?
Yes.
All right. So we'll have to vote.
Move to extend 10 minutes with the inclusion of myself in the stack.
Mr. Chair, that's It's simply a motion to extend time. It doesn't guarantee you the right that you will be the first person on it. It's simply a motion to extend time. And it needs to be seconded. Any second to the motion to extend time. All right, for the lack of second, there's no extension time. And we'll
I
need
to extend by 5 minutes.
But it's too late.
It's not too late.
It's too late.
Why is it too late?
You made a motion to extend time, no second.
It's
the same motion.
No, it's different. It's less time.
Extend time to 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Second.
No, he said it again.
Second.
Okay.
I second the motion.
All right.
Mr. Freeland, you are not the maker of this motion.
I'm not the maker of the motion.
You're seconded? There's a motion? Okay, that's fine. That's it. And so, motion to extend time for 5 minutes. Any objections to that? Okay, objections. So we take a vote. All those favor and extend time for 5 minutes. Those against? Okay. Time is extended for 5 minutes. So we'll take Bob, go ahead.
Okay, I have another substitute motion, which is basically it would accept all of Ken's motion except the last phrase, which is the phrase, and their right to address any item of business before these committees during any such meetings.
Say it loud so we can hear you.
I'm sorry. To strike the phrase, and their rights to address any item of business before these committees during any such meeting.
Point of information?
We're on the substitute now, are we?
Exactly.
I'll read it again.
Yeah. Order.
Yeah, point of order.
This is an amendment to the main motion. If the substitute is, but not a substitute to the substitute motion, so that would be an order after this suspense would be.
Point of order. That's not correct. That's not correct. It will be an order to perfect the main motion after the substitute motion is perfected, but not dispensed with.
I'm going to just, all right, just a second, hold it. But I'm going to make a ruling. There's a main motion, and there's a substitute motion. And there's a substitute motion on this. Am I correct, Bob? Yes. You're substituting a motion to this. So we'll take care of your substitute motion first. If that fails, we'll come back here. And if that fails, we'll go to the main motion.
Point of order.
Yes.
Bob's motion doesn't speak the language in the substitute motions.
Bob, could you clarify that?
Yeah, I guess Dave's second is correct. Maybe I wasn't following your question. Sorry. It is to change the wording in the original motion. So it's a substitute to the original motion, not to death.
Wait, just could you?
Point of information. Could we have the whole motion?
Just hold it. Just a minute.
Go ahead, Bob.
Clarify that.
What is the question?
The question is?
It's the last page of our booklet. Do I need to read it out loud?
Go on, please.
All right. Well, I can skip the whereases and just go to the action clause. Therefore, be resolved that the PNB affirms the right of all directors to be given reasonable notice of all meetings of all PNB committees, subcommittees, and working groups, the right to attend any of these meetings, whether said meetings are open or closed to the public, period. And then it would delete the phrase that followed that, which is, and their right to address any items of business before these committees during any such meetings.
Can you take a motion?
I'm sorry?
Can you take
another
substitute?
No, I said it's two. Just two.
How many substitutes do we have?
I'm sorry. Just this one here, and then that one. Two substitutes.
Point
that's it.
Point of information.
Yes.
Does the chair feel like this satisfies the reading of the bylaws? That's what I'm trying to get at.
I'm sorry.
Bob, my substitute would simply say that this board will function in terms of this issue in approving Article 6, Section 7 of the bylaws. And we'll enforce that provision of our bylaws. That takes care of all of us.
And could we deal with it here and then we come back to that?
Point of information?
All right.
Can I address my motion?
Point of information?
Just a second. Hold it. What is the question?
If as read, as compared to the bylaws, I think that this motion becomes dilatory and should be dismissed by the chair immediately so we can move on.
What is the point of information?
It's
Does the is the motion dilatory given the wording of the bylaws?
Because what you're trying to do is amend the bylaws by these provisions. And all you have to do is enforce the provisions of the bylaws.
All right.
And that takes care of it.
Okay, I'm going to make a ruling of this.
A point of order, Mr. Chair.
And my ruling is that these three motions that we take up in the unfinished business. And in the meantime, the makers of the motion and anybody else on this board who thinks that we're trying to overturn the bylaws through this, that they can fully research and bring back them. Okay. That is it. Any objections to that? All right. So this is punted over to Sunday, unfinished business, and all the people there making motions, they come back and let the research and stuff. Okay. This goes. Next up. We are out of time, and there are no motions on the governance, so we're the next meeting. COI. Okay. Report from the COI, and hand it to our chair.
COI. Ray, you wanted to address the question of the national, formation of the national committees of inclusion.
Yeah, this is something that is not in the bylaws. However, as the local committees, COI committees, are functioning in the past, we can clear that that very local, even although they are committees of the national board, their local footprint prevents them from really knowing what the others are doing, and we can very quickly clear that there was a need for a national structure that only functioned as a bridge between the different committees, but also actually introduce ideas and on for national actions, considerations about budgetary considerations, specifically address issues of hiring of national coordinator or coordinators and financing and training and so on. So I'm suggesting that this be done again and that this committee be formed of the separate individual elected directors of those local committees.
So you're making a motion that a national COI be formed comprising the PNB directors elected by each of their LSBs to their local COI?
Yes, and I'm adding further that this committee should be allowed to recruit members of the LSB if necessary and appropriate.
Is there a second? Okay. The only question I have, just as a matter of order, is whether the description of the bylaws define the committee membership as including LSB members, but it can be restricted to just PNB members in the event that there's confidential interest before. I don't know that the COI functions. I'm not clear whether we would be able to just recruit members, or whether we would have to have the same LSB election process populated with LSB members. Does anybody on the board have a better sense of this than I? Bob?
Yeah, we discussed this last year, and the interpretation the board agreed with was that because it's an ad hoc committee, it doesn't fall under the strict rules about the composition of committees. So last year's committee was, in fact, just the five directors.
I don't think the bylaws speak to a difference between ad hoc committee membership and standing committee membership. I think the committees have to follow membership. Do you have an address?
Mr. Chair, if I remember correctly, in our COI on the local base, on the local level, it did not say what comprises the special section.
Yeah, but but that
it does not say that it is comprised of 18 people.
If there is something in the bylaws called the Committees of Inclusion, which are local committees. It is not a national committee. Poetry proposes the creation of a national committee. And my understanding of the bylaws is that you have two choices. You can either have just EMB directors on it if it involves confidential matters, or it has a people agreement.
There should be established in each of the foundation's radio station areas standing committed to the board to monitor the underrepresentation of communities in their respective radio station areas. These committees of inclusion shall include one director and three LSD members from each radio station area who shall be elected by their respective LSDs. And such additional individuals as those four shall choose by their article.
There's a lot of standing committees, but Ray, since I'm concerned that your motion may not be in order, may I suggest that we just form a national COR comprising the locals and that would address the concerns? That was further up.
What is the
committee membership of national committees? There's no COI or local committees.
So this is not a standing committee, this is a different section. But the same article.
If there's a section under other committees of the board, actually, if you can, I know what you're
talking about. Yeah.
Except as otherwise provided in these bylaws, all committees shall include at least one director from each foundation radio station and two delegates who are not then serving as directors from each radio station. Provided, however, that the inclusion of delegates on the committee shall not be required with a board by majority vote determines that the privileged, sensitive, or confidential nature of the matters to be addressed by said committee preclude the inclusion of delegates as committee members in order for the said committee to effectively envision the performance duties.
I have to amend the proposal to make it task force for this.
So you're proposing a task force on issues of inclusion to comprise the director, each elected director of each local COI, plus such other LSD members as they may recruit.
Yes, and the purpose would be to help coordinate the activities of the local board and look at issues of proposed motions and programs to implement the national implementation of this.
Can you write the motion down? Is there a second to this motion?
Second.
Okay, debate. Mary?
I have a concern since the COI membership, the local COIs are not limited in membership, that I'm concerned that, let's say if each one had 15 people and we would have four more, we could have, if they were very active, we might have more and we could have that. So could we, would the maker of this motion consider having, say, a fixed number of representatives from each of the local COIs, let's say no more than four or no more than five, rather than the whole COR
This motion is not saying the whole COI, that was a suggestion. I asked, but what you're saying is this task force includes the directors and the directors and every other people.
Oh, is that all? Oh, I see.
LaVarn and then Bob.
Thank you. All these proposals like this in terms of changing committees or forming committees, I would like to know if this has been tried like on a local level to see if this has been successfully implemented throughout the network versus trying to implement something on a nationwide basis and then not really knowing whether there's this has been achieved with any success or not.
Greg wanted to speak to this and then we'll go to Bob.
I have not yet heard in the motion the actual problem to which this motion is a response, nor do I hear a clear and explicit charge. I think that what we're doing here is we're establishing a committee on supervision and correction of other committees and establishing a rather elaborate structure which will make it even more difficult for the existing committee structure to make decisions, because you're actually describing an interaction between committees. You're talking about it having an interaction and ongoing role related. programming. I just heard you talk about relationship to hiring processes. It is going to be difficult enough to actually move any of the business of this corporation forward without establishing a national body, particularly when we haven't yet demonstrated that these committees are actually functioning in the way they should at the local level. I feel that it will create an encumbering structure, and I don't yet hear the rationale clearly stated that, or the discussion that should take place at this level before establishing a new nationwide community task force.
Okay, I'm happy to provide that rationale. And in fact, that rationale has been agreed to actually two boards in a row that had an ad hoc national community inclusion. And the reason they have, and you know, there have been obstacles to them, that community moving forward as far as membership being available for meetings, is that this board, or actually the predecessor to this board, in 2002, 3.5 years ago, approved a broad policy on race and nationality to institute measures to really include all disenfranchised communities in all aspects of Pacifica. And while some pieces of that work have moved forward, major pieces have not moved. And part of that is because, in my opinion, the mistake that the interim board made in rejecting a draft of the bylaws that would have mandated a national committee of inclusion. The local committees are fine and do good work at the local level, but it needs to be coordinated nationally. And there's several initiatives that have been stalled from this national board that were approved 14 months ago as far as the question of how to provide a fundraising plan for race and nationality programming, both programming and initiatives. As far as the question of whether to hire a coordinator, as far as the question of setting up a Blue Ribbon Commission on Affirmative Action, which has been approved by this board and was in the charge of the National Committee of Inclusion, but has not moved forward. And then we just spent 7 hours yesterday discussing the problems of race and nationality and coming up with a brainstorming session with many wonderful ideas of how to move this work forward, but without a national committee coordinating the work, once again, it will not get done. It's urgent we set this up. Whatever structure is fine, but there's got to be some national structure and not leave it to the fragmented efforts of five local committees, however good their work is.
I just want one sentence response. I did not hear in all the excellent brainstorming work that was done yesterday any mention of this as a solution to any problem by any of the five committees that met during that retreat. It seems to me quite an amazing omission, considering now it's being brought forward as a motion.
From now on, one of my single sentences, I'm going to ask how many comments there are. Don?
Well, I tend to agree with our executive director. It seems to me that we're all committed to the programs, projects, and concepts that Bob has laid out. But I think we need to have the committees of inclusion working effectively in the signal areas before we start talking about superimposing a structure over them with a national structure of committees, a committee of inclusion. A lot of the admirable and I think necessary initiatives that this board needs to move forward on, we can move forward on them without creating another structure nationally. So I have real questions about whether we should move to increase the structures of this initiative at this time nationally before the local committees of inclusion are really working effectively. And I agree with the executive director. I'm not exactly sure what the mandate of this national committee of inclusion would be.
Hold on a second. I had Teresa. Teresa, are you speaking in favor or opposed? I think we've heard a couple. Favor, you go ahead and speak.
Yes, the reason why I would like to support this is because the local committees of inclusion are working in isolation, and they really need the impetus of a national reporting and coming together in order to move forward. They are very well-meaning, but the group dynamic could be enhanced tremendously by a national focus.
Teresa.
I move to refer this to governance.
I still haven't seen the motion, and I think that's a clue here. We're voting on something that we don't even know what it is. We can't retain it in our mind. We can't see it. It needs to go to governments to have somebody decide, you know, to think about it and decide on the structure. So
is there a second?
Second.
Okay, well, I'll take two in favor and two opposed. I think we've already heard one in favor. So is there, who's opposed to referring? Brandon?
Well, I'll say quickly that if you even look at the work of the Committee of Inclusion, so the local committees, their goal is to monitor programming, identify communities, various communities within their listening area.
Ray, this is on the motion to refer, so it's opposition to referral.
That's the rationale for opposing referral. But the main referral is that this group existed, Theresa should be aware of it. It came into existence because of a clear need to have that kind of national awareness. It was responsible for all the national move, training, and so on that had not managed to take place on the local level, and set up the type of training that could take place, and so on.
In the future, our motion to refer, the debate on the motion to refer would be why not to do that now. In other words, it's not whether the motion meritorious, it's whether the referral is meritorious. Sandy, are you speaking opposed or in favor?
I'm speaking for referral.
Go ahead.
Echoing what Teresa said, number one, there's nothing right in front of us. Number two, there's obviously two sides to the issue here. It needs to be vetted further. We've heard that this committee might work in conflict with other committees set of communication structure. At best, we take these things into account, take our time, get it right, and then bring it back up when it's been vetted. Thank you.
We're at time for the item, so unless there's a motion to extend, we'll vote on the motion to refer, and then if that fails, on the main motion. I hear no motion to extend, so all those in favor of referring the question to governance, please raise your hand. All the, please raise your hand high. Was opposed to referring. The motion is referring.
Mr. Chair, I still don't have a copy of the motion.
Okay. The maker
the motion is to create a committee of five members of directors of each local committee.
I'm sorry. And not an individual.
That's it. It's stated earlier.
Okay, the motion's been referred. Ray will get it to you as soon as he's able to. The last item in this agenda item is Don had said that the audit committee wanted to tell us something about its activities briefly.
Very briefly, the people will recall in the Washington, D.C. PMB meeting of the Foundation Auditor made a full report. There are issues before this committee. Let me give the membership from KPFA, Mary Berg, Mark Hernandez, Marnie Tattersall, from KPFK, Terry Goodman, Harry Wild, Don White, from KPFT, Ken Freeland, Ted Weisgall, Brian Swain, and from WBAI, Lisa Davis, Cheryl Griffin, Virgil Grimers, from WPFW, Mark Roberts, Rob Robinson, Thomas Ruffin. And we have a gate almost in cement now for the first meeting. It has not met since between Washington and Los Angeles. On the first agenda will be some issues that Rob Robinson has hanging in that committee, some resolutions and so on. Also, a former member, Donna Warren, has a resolution. So we'll be dealing with that, and I believe the first meeting will be in about 7 or 8 days. We set a date, and then I think at WBAI there was a LSV meeting that night, and so we, as a courtesy, of course, understandably to WBAI, we postponed the meeting because they announced they had a LSV meeting. So the first audit committee meeting will be in about 7 or 8 days, and we've got to do that.
Okay. We're at time for the committee meetings, and we actually made it in time, even with all that static. The remaining elections committee motions will be taken up in unfinished business tomorrow. time permitting, and if not, they'll be forwarded to our next meeting. We have a great schedule and agenda for 15 minutes, but before we do that, I'd like John to talk a little bit about the logistics around the march. So in the agenda, we after this have a section of 45 minutes on CPB requirements and board composition. We also need to deal with a couple. We need to deal with a couple things on committee composition, and it's real important that all board members are paying attention now because we're about to talk about the march and the logistics of the march. My nightmare scenario is that we get out in the street and we trickle in for the rest of the day. LA is beautiful. This is going to be one of the most dramatic and important political marches in this city in many years. So I want to be sure that we're all on the same page as to how we're going to get out there, be part of it, and get back in here to do our business on getting national programming on these issues to the national audience. So, Don, can you talk about some of the logistics?
I'm going to do this quickly, and I think Ellen has an update also. As many of you know, probably the largest mobilization in the history of the city is going to be taking place and is taking place right now. It's about 8 blocks from here. You understand the focus is basically the immigration legislation in the Congress at the time, the so-called Sensenbrenner bill. The assembly point was originally scheduled for 10 a.m. at the corner of Olympic and Broadway, which is about 8 blocks east of Olympic and Figueroa. So we're at Olympic and Figueroa. The assembly point is at Olympic and Broadway. So you would go about 8 blocks east of this intersection. But let me tell you what has happened. At 6 a.m. this morning, there were between 500 and 1,000 people at Olympic and Broadway. We watched live coverage on television. At 6 a.m., there was 1,000. And at the present time, the crowd has built, I believe, to between about 300,000. Before I go to Alan, one network is now proposing the possibility that this march will go to 500,000 people, and that is partly because in the signal area we are in, there are also some Spanish language programmers like Violín, who is a very popular Spanish language disc jockey and humorist on FM radio. He's probably number one in the city. He has taken this on as his project and has called on all Latinos in solidarity with all Latinos and others, other immigrants, to gather. So the crowd now is so big that my proposal... Well, let's go to Alan for just a
minute. Yeah, I just spoke to Lydia in Mansoor. Lydia's actually gone up to the KPFK. We're never going to make it to where the KPFK broadcast is.
No way.
It's too far away, and we wouldn't be able to walk back. I spoke to Mansoor, and what Mansoor suggests is to walk on Olympic and then go up to 7th and take 7th over to Broadway. The crowds are so huge, they're supposed to try to commence about right now. But people have already started marching in various places because there are just so many people. So what Mansoor suggests we do is we leave now, we walk towards the march, but head a little north of it, so at least we can get there for when the main march passes by, which should start very soon, and probably will have started by the time we get
right
there. And what I also think we should do is maybe everybody who's going to come, maybe we break for 10 minutes, we meet down here, everybody get comfortable shoes on, and the dress of the day, and I'm going to be out of line, but this is white. So there's floods of people in white. If everybody wants to run upstairs, get a white t-shirt.
On the agenda, so it's sounding like what we're going to do is we're going to take the item 2 of this agenda and do that after we return from the march, is that correct? We're going to do the march now?
Well, here's the thing, the police are not allowing people just, you know, to mill at Olympic and Broadway. So what has happened is the march, it's an organism.
It's an organism.
These people have been, you've been in meetings too long. It's an organism that has its own life. So there are already march, part of the march is actually moving out simply to find space and so on. So I think this is a good deal. But here's the other thing. Signs are being made. Where are the signs? There's someone here. Yeah, she's making them. Now, turn that around so our guests, our listener sponsors can also see. So we're making a series of signs. So the idea is that we will not be marching. We will not be marching. We will go to a location and vigil in solidarity with the marchers who are going by. Because if we enter into the march, you'll be swept away. So we need to stay together. And when we go up to 7th and Broadway, we will be there to wave at the marchers as they go by. And then we have to do this. And this is the last thing I'll say. And then Lisa, we need to take the time we have and divide it in half, kind of, and determine how long is it going to NC? How long did it take us to get to 7th and Broadway? How long can we stay there? And then when do we need to start back? So we're here to meet our agenda.
Lisa, before you do this, I just want to clarify. We are doing this now, before item 2 of the agenda, not after item 2. Is that what you're saying?
Well, what time is it right now?
It's now 11 something.
Okay,
so that means that the total time is going to be an hour and 45 minutes from the time from basically 11:15 until 12:15, until 1 o'clock. Is that correct? Yes. So we have to be back there at 1.
Are there any like organized camps in solidarity that we should stay as after 5 I don't know if you're in Spanish or whatever. Yes. And so we will definitely be there. And we should listen to what they're chanting and enter into their chants in English and Spanish and so on. Now here's the thing, is just the last thing. We need to have some discipline here, because this will be an exciting event. But in order to be back here at 1 o'clock, we should leave 7th and Broadway at a very specific time. So when David or Alan or I say, sorry, we have to move back, we're going to have to move back, or we'll get caught up in a sea of compañeros in La Lucha.
And so please schedule yourself. This is our lunch break also, so please try and be back by 12:45 so you can at least get a little food, and we really need to start this meeting at 1 sharp.
Okay? Now, Ursula has signs here, so people who would like signs here, be sure to pick them up. And do we have a banner from Pacifica?
No.
Nate, anyone?
It's down at the... It's already down there.
It's already down there. Yeah, all of our banners are already there.
It's
on. We should move in a pack. I'll take a shot. Would it be possible for us to assemble in front of the hotel on Figueroa now? Okay, in 5 minutes we'll be in front of the hotel. In 5 minutes.